send the boy band back. So it's great to have you guys with us back again. And really good music today. Well, these past 11 months have changed the way we see things as being clean. I think we've taken this sanitizing of things to a new level, not just here in the United States, but I think around the world. We become diligent about the way we clean things, wash things, sanitize things. We're hyper about this virus and germs. And I think we come to know all the different products that we can use to do any kind of cleaning that we need. If you need to remove marks on things, we know exactly where to go. If you need to eliminate the odors that may be a part of something, we know what to add to get a refreshing smell. Definitely the antibacterial cleaners and sanitizers to get rid of all the germs that can infect. And as always is the case, I think we always get really, really good as people, as a culture, at cleaning up the surface of things. We're cleaning up things around us, our environment, and then we stop there. I think we like just kind of thinking, all right, we got the surface, that kind of stuff taken care of. We don't ever think that maybe there's other things that we may need to take into consideration. Because what if there is something deeper, something that's below the surface, that too leaves marks and odors and infects? You see, the reality is the effects are worse than the coronavirus. And the problem is, it's mostly dismissed. It's not taken seriously. We just want to focus on just eliminating the viruses and the germs that we know of around us. Because to deal with it, if it's something lower, it becomes personal. But to confront and actually deal with it, Jesus came to town. And as you can imagine, there were definitely mixed emotions and feelings when he came. Basically, the question is, what are we going to do with him? But see, that's the story for today. The religious people of Jesus' day were part of a system, a climate, a culture that developed over hundreds of years. So in a sense, it was all they knew. And then Jesus walked into their well-defined, structured, ordered, same old world. And the religious establishment of the day just did not know what to do with him or what to think about him. But the common folk felt a breeze of fresh air coming through. And all Jesus did was speak to the people. In a sense, he just spoke to them from Scripture. What Jesus is here communicating about himself meshes well, in a sense, with what Paul is trying to communicate about God and Christ in 1 Corinthians 8 in the New Testament lesson for today. Paul says that many look to other gods and have other lords, other teachings and methods and ways and practices. But you see, what Jesus offers is noticeably different. It stands out and it gets your attention. And here's the thing. Sometimes you don't really know what you really truly need until you're exposed to it. And then kind of the lights go on. Because it says, after Jesus taught in their synagogue there in Capernaum, it says, they were amazed at his teaching. And the word for amazed literally means struck out of themselves. Today we would just say they were, in a sense, blown away. And when Jesus offered himself to the people, he offered them something different. Something better than they were used to. And they couldn't help but notice, and they felt the effect. Something just was different. And I think that people today want something greater, better than what they're used to. Than what, in a sense, is being just offered to them from the world around them. What is it about Jesus' teaching that is different from what they are used to? A number of things. See, the first thing is Jesus speaks the truth. Jesus identified himself as the way, the truth, and the life. He says that he came to testify to the truth. So Jesus has no problem just kind of laying it out straight. He says, this is the way it is. And for all practical purposes, when you look at things these days, I think it could almost go two ways these days in our culture. So either there's the belief that there is no absolute truth. What's true for you may not be true for me. You have your truth, I have my truth. Let's be fine with that. Or the way it's going today, I think, is your truth offends me, so it just needs to be shut down. When it comes to spiritual matters, I submit to Christ and his word. And that's why I stand so strongly for the truth found in God's word, the Bible. I think the lesson for us in this is present Jesus and the Bible as true, or just speak the truth. Speak the truth as we see it in Scripture. The other thing is Jesus speaks about things that really matter. See, Jesus has a way of knowing what people really need. He just really knows what is most important. He knew the people did not need another lecture on how many steps they should take on the Sabbath day and why. What he does talk to the people about is the conditions of their heart. How to be a good neighbor. How to get eternal life. How to forgive others. How to feel and be at peace with God. You see, he knows that there are other things that are deeper than just the surface, and he knows how to get below the surface, the things that matter. Because I still believe people really want to know, who am I really? And why am I here? And what happens after death? Can I have hope? How do I deal with guilt? How do I learn to forgive someone else? What's this all about? Yesterday, I did a memorial service. Pastor friend of mine, just right down here at Hepatha, Pastor Andrews, his mom passed away on Christmas Day. And I was really kind of humbled and honored that he asked me to do the service for his mom. And so as we gathered, it was a small group, and my message was the gospel. Again, who Christ is, and the comfort he gives us as we know that someone who's been taken from us in death is with Christ, and salvation, and the gift that we have in Christ, and the promise of hope and eternal life. And just speak words of comfort to people who are grieving. And then as Pastor Arthur came up to me after, he says, I just needed that too. I'm a pastor, but I still need to hear the gospel. It really matters. And Jesus says, hey, you know what? Focus on things that ultimately and really matter, where people's hearts are. And then Jesus speaks as one who loves people. He speaks as one who is concerned with the eternal welfare of his listeners. He wants to point us to his Father and his love for us. Jesus loves people. And people respond since they realize that someone around them actually cares. Today it's all about following certain people or being followed by people. And so many people are just following after and idolizing people who ultimately they don't really care. The only thing maybe some people care about is whether or not money is going into their pockets. And then there are those who care. And then there are those who don't. And the people who don't, hey, those are the people who just kind of take off when they don't sense it's something's not in it for them. I think ultimately the lesson for us is just care about people. Care about people. And then Jesus speaks with authority. Jesus speaks straight from his heart and from the heart of the Father. And when the teachers of Jesus, they taught, they drew from fallible sources. So-and-so said this, and so-and-so said this about this and that. But there's this power in Jesus' words, a power to bring healing and strength and forgiveness to the life of the man who was in the synagogue that day. And as Jesus cast the spirit out of the man, we see the power of Jesus as he spoke God's word. Because the church of Jesus' day had lost the power to speak with authority, and they lost the ability to act with authority. And along comes Jesus, and he does both. And some of the people were so blinded that they never really ever recognized who Jesus was. And here's the thing. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that really the only one in the church who truly recognized who Jesus was the unclean spirit, the demon? You don't take that as a compliment. Many of the people knew there was something that was different, and they noticed something was different, and they listened. The lesson for us in this is, it's his authority, not ours. See, we want to help people to be able to see Jesus as someone who can speak into their life, to know his voice, to recognize his presence. Because you see, when the real leader speaks, people listen. We have and know the Jesus that people need. We can present the real leader to people. You see, the people in town that day were going to see and hear something very new that day. And when Jesus came to town that day, he was full of the Spirit and fresh from successfully confronting Satan in the wilderness, and he was ready to take things on. The scene in a Capernaum synagogue, a setting of prayer, teaching, worship, community gathering, centers all around here this question of Jesus and his authority. Why does he do what he does? For whom does he speak and for whom does he act? Who has authority? And it says, who has authorized his ministry? And the answers to those questions emerge as his ministry continues. I'll tackle the tough stuff, the true dirt and grime and germs of this world. Because you see, we can show them a Jesus who came to get below the surface of things into our lives. When Jesus comes to town, he's able to see and eliminate the unclean. And it's more than having a clean surface or more than having a clean environment. It really ultimately is all about having a clean heart. Because see, Jesus can eliminate the marks that sin leaves. And he can eliminate the odor and bring refreshing smell of forgiveness. He can cleanse the source as if it was never there. So the bottom line is, as we too connect and circulate among people, show them Jesus. Speak the truth in love. Focus on what matters most. Care about people. Show them Jesus. Because he knows what really matters. And it's the stuff below the surface. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.